Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, we hope you can hear us now, ladies and gentlemen. We've had some problems once again with Blog Talk Radio. I have no idea what's going on. Let me check the phones first and make sure that we're even on the air here. Todd, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, very good. Anyway, folks, we apologize. At the opening, I said, I want everyone to realize that wrestling fans in general, and WWE fans specifically, have a bit of an issue with the WWE and their deal with Saudi Arabia and the Saudi Arabian government, and I'm one of them. I've openly said this is a mistake. I've openly said dealing with these people, the government specifically, gives a black eye to the WWE and gives a black eye to wrestling in general. But having said that, I want everybody to understand that that crowd yesterday in Saudi Arabia was fantastic. That crowd was into everything. That crowd was receptive, excited, happy to be there, totally immersed in the event. And to be perfectly honest, if you close your eyes and pretend that crowd wasn't in Saudi Arabia, I can promise you the WWE would be back there every week, because that is the crowd they are seeking. That is the crowd the WWE used to have. And that's the type of crowd that spurs their athletes on, put on fantastic matches. So my hats are off to them. You know, you can hate the government. It has nothing to do with the people. And those people were genuinely happy. This was an event for them. They don't get this all the time. This was something very special to them and for them. And they turned out for it, and they were phenomenal, a phenomenal crowd. Anyway, let's get to the event, because during the warm-up show, we had the Usos taking on Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin in a match we didn't know was taking place. Quite a good pre-show match. They gave it some time. It wasn't rushed. And this is what I was trying to tell everyone, is that you can say what you want about, well, you know, the WWE athletes can't do this or can't do that. Yeah, they can. If they're given time, they most certainly can. It's just the WWE does not have that mindset that they're going to do 15-minute matches. They just don't. Not on their television shows, as a rule. Very good match. Very strong match. We, of course, knew the Usos were going to win, and the Usos did win, but there were it made Shelton Benjamin, I think, and Cedric Alexander look legit. Crowd loved it, and I had absolutely no problem with it, Mike. I thought it was a very good opener.
Again, we've said it before about the Usos, and this was before, you know, this was when they were having their matches with those knockdown dragouts with the New Day, right? They are, if not the best, tag team in the world, close to it. You know,
I mean,
you can
say,
make an argument for the New Day. You can make an argument for any other tag team, but you can make a very strong argument for you know, the Usos being the best tag team, regardless company.
Yeah, I think that's true. So we start the show out with Hell in a Cell, which I guess didn't surprise me, because they wanted to get the cell out of the way and all that stuff and remove it as far as they could from the main event. And they're very lucky they did that, because this match absolutely 100% stole the show. And this is what happens. I've told people 500 times if I've told them once. This is what happens when good ring psychology meets good actual performance. You don't have to do a million super kicks. You don't have to jump off the top rope 7,000 times. You don't have to do corkscrew planchas and back somersaults to bring a crowd to its feet. You have to tell a story. The story has to be logical. It has to have a build. It has to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And if you can logically tell that story and then in the meantime put on a really good wrestling match while doing it, that's what separates just a good athlete but not a good storyteller, or just a good storyteller but not a great athlete. These guys are both. And at 47, I think he's 47 or 48 years old, Edge actually showed up a lot of people. And I knew that Seth Rollins and him would be the perfect matchup. Their styles blend very well. They have a chemistry together. And this match, once again, this is the type of match that reminds me why I am a wrestling fan. I watch this match and I say, this is when real, true professionals do their job flawlessly. Absolutely flawlessly. They had me, now I knew Edge was going to win. I said going in, Edge is going to win. I mean, he can't lose after you've invaded his house and called out his children and his wife. But you had me a couple of times. You had me a couple of times. There was a couple of times when I said they're going to pull the trigger on this. Maybe Edge is leaving for a while or something. They're going to pull the trigger on this. They keep saying he's not 100% back from this injury. He let his pride get in the way. Seth Rollins led him into a trap where he's not 100%. And you're not going to beat Seth Rollins at 70%. And I said, they're making excuses. Something's going to happen. That's good comment. You see, the commentators also play a part. When you don't give away what's going to happen, Corey Graves didn't say, there's no way on earth Edge could ever win. Edge is never going to win this. This is the most biggest mistake Edge has ever made in his career. He's destined to lose. I'm telling you, I'll stake my career on it. That's basically saying Edge is winning. Corey Graves does that all the time. Corey Graves shows his hand all the time. I would play Corey Graves at poker any day of the week because he must suck at it. He gives away the endings constantly. This time he did not. It's perfectly fine to say, I think Edge might have bit off more than he can chew. That's fine. Because then Corey Graves would waffle back and forth and say, yeah, I don't believe this. Seth Rollins is not doing well here. Edge is definitely more determined than I've ever seen him, and perhaps we've underestimated him. And it went back and forth to the point where I literally said, I'm not 100% sure he's winning this match. And I think it was a carefully crafted ending. I think that it had a beginning, middle, and end, exactly what a wrestling match should have. And this is the best match they have ever put on in Saudi Arabia. By far. It's not even close. This is the best match that they have put on since they have went to Saudi Arabia, Mike. I think it was fantastic.
Yeah, I think it was fantastic, too. The only thing that was missing for me, and people may say, well, that's kind of overbooking, but the only thing missing for me, and this is because of what they did by bringing what's her name into it, his wife, Beth Phoenix, is having Edge do the Glam Slam. That was the only thing missing for me. Now, people may say that is a little bit of overbooking, but again, I mean, and probably more than a cherry on top of it, but again, like you said, the psychology actually started when Edge's music played. It took a few minutes for Edge's music to play, his entrance
right.
to play. And then you saw – When his interest started to play, you saw the little jump that Seth Rollins gave. That was excellent.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing, too, is that both guys played it well. Seth Rollins played it as, I'm confident, I have more experience in this cage than he does, I know what I can do, and then he comes face-to-face with Edge, who obviously looks enraged. And Seth Rollins' demeanor changes somewhat to this might not be as good as I thought it was going to go. Seth Rollins took one of the most hellacious bumps I've seen in a while. And yes, you can catch yourself on the cage and redirect your body to fall through that table. Yes, obviously you can do that. But if you watch very carefully, Seth Rollins really didn't do that. He didn't catch himself on the cage and then let go. He literally bounced off the cage and directed his body through that table. And when I first saw it, I said, please show this again, because I want to see if he stopped his momentum by clutching the cage for a minute and then falling, as most people would do. He did not. Now, it's very hard. When you set up a table, normally you're like, here's the spot where they're going to go through it. And if he doesn't go through it now, it's going to play into this spot. I didn't see this one coming at all. I did not see this one coming at all. That's what made that even better, Todd, is that when he went through it, I'm like, Jesus, I forgot the table was there. These guys did a phenomenal job. I think this is one of the best Hell in a Cell matches I've seen in quite some time.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was one of the best Hell in a Cell matches I ever seen as well in a long time. You know, they said this is to be the final time they're going to be facing off with each other. I say, I don't think so.
You know, it would be hard to imagine because they work so well together. When you find people with this kind of in-ring chemistry, it's not super common. And they definitely have it. They definitely have it. Anyway, we now have Mansoor versus Mustafa Ali. I don't know what's up with Mustafa Ali. Was that Mustafa Ali or was that Alice Cooper? Why did he have so much eye makeup on? What's going on with Mustafa Ali and all the eye black and all that kind of stuff, the mascara? What's up with that? But anyway, you know, a decent match. This is the hometown hero. They let him win. Then they added the cherry on top when they had the guy come down after Ali beat Mansoor down after the match. I guess he's an Olympic gold medalist in karate or whatever. And he kicked Ali's ass as well. Now, I will tell you this. I liked the match. The match was fine. I didn't like the entrance, the way they handled the entrance of this Olympic gold medalist, and I'll tell you why. Once he took off the turban and Ali became like confident of, oh, come on, you want to fight? No one would do that. He already knows this is an Olympic gold medalist in karate. He's not going to do that. It would have been better if he thought it was just some schlub and he kept the turban on. And then when he went to attack him, he caught that kick and then the guy takes off the turban. You're like, well, no wonder why. No wonder why he kicked his ass. Look who it is. Ali wasn't ready for that. That would have been better, and I think it would have protected Ali a little bit more, a little bit smarter than just charging in on a guy like that. And by the way, not even trying to take his legs out, just charging in head first. But aside from that, Mike, I thought it was a good match. The hometown hero won. It's a feel-good moment. I have no problem with this match.
I like the match, and frankly, I can very well see at some point that this guy would somewhere along the line end up with a contract from the WWE. I mean, this is the exact same type of guy that they always, you know, maybe not a gold medalist, but a medalist in the Olympics, from a foreign country, another guy from Saudi Arabia. You know, this is the exact type of guy that the WWE would go after.
Yeah, there probably is some kind of a plan to do something, even if it's just in Saudi Arabia with the guy. Maybe they'll have Ali versus him or something. I don't know where they're going with it. I don't know what the guy's interests are in actually being a wrestler, but it's very possible. Anyway, RK-Bro versus AJ Styles and Omos. Again, nothing wrong with the match. But this was my least favorite. Well, it was my least favorite match with the male competitors, and I'll tell you why it was my least favorite match, because this was 100% the same exact blueprint. Every single AJ Styles and Omos match. AJ Styles goes in, does all the work, gets his ass kicked, tags Omos, who does four things, doesn't sell anything, Omos tags back out. Why he would tag back out when he's killing people, I don't know. But he tags back out. AJ Styles gets in trouble, almost gets knocked off a ring apron, is stunned for a minute while they pin AJ Styles. Happens every single time they fight. Every single time they're going to lose, that's how they lose. I think they're wasting AJ Styles, quite frankly, with this. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to build up almost, and let's face it, he is built up to an extent. He's not ready yet. I get it. To do matches on his own, but at this stage of the game, you could at least come up with a different way of ending it. I mean, these are just cookie cutter matches at this point. I could tell you exactly how the match is going to go because it always goes that way. So I was a little disappointed, Todd, but you know why? It wasn't terrible. It's what we figured.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was an okay match, but not great either. With this, it had some moments in it, but either way, it was so-so.
Yeah, it's just too patterned, Mike. You know, this has become the normal routine, the ABC match, 8,000 almost always does when they're going to lose.
Right, and that's the thing. Now, you know, what I would have done here, and here's me doing some booking. Once Almost gets in the ring, you have him go, you know, 5 minutes and have him just dominate. And it doesn't matter who it is, if it's Randy Orton or Riddle, just have him dominate. And then as he's dominating, AJ's supposed to be a bad guy, you know. And as he's dominating, as he walks back around, walks around the ring and dominates, you have AJ reach up and just, for no good reason, tag him, you know, because we're seeing, well, this guy's dominating Riddle and dominating the tag team champions. And then AJ comes in there and, well, hell's bells. He loses the match. And then you can say, you know, if he would have let Almost go, you know, if he wouldn't have tagged him, maybe they would have won the match, you know.
Yeah, I'm sick of watching Almost tag out when he's dominating. Just pin him then. If you're that dominating, finish him off. That's all. So this one was a little disappointing to me. Not as disappointing as the next one. We had Zelina Vega and Doudrop for the Queen's Crown. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm fine with Zelina Vega. I like Zelina Vega. But if you're going to sit here and tell me that she has lost to virtually every single person since coming back, the only time she's really won a match is during this tournament, and you have a woman three times her size, who demolished everybody in her way, including Shayna Baszler, lose to Zelina Vega. Doudrop is done. I mean, what is it now? What are we supposed to think? If she can't beat someone who has been booked the way Zelina Vega's been booked, the size of Zelina Vega, how are we realistically supposed to take her as someone who is tough? How are we realistically supposed to say this is someone to really watch out for? I know there are a lot of fans saying, oh, I'm so glad Zelina Vega won. Well, I'm not. Because you've done it now at the expense of Doudrop, because I just don't see anything you can do with her at this point. All of her credibility as a power wrestler, as someone you say, well, she's dominant because look how big she is and powerful. It's done. She can't beat Zelina Vega. That would be the equivalent of Brock Lesnar losing to Ricochet. That's what it is. And I actually heard someone say, I couldn't believe it. I heard someone say in the chat room I was in, well, that's what the King of the Ring is for. That's what it's always been for, to promote the undercard. Since when? What kind of a statement is that? So Kurt Angle's the undercard, Bret Hart's the undercard, Randy Savage is the undercard, Booker T is the undercard. Since when? Zelina Vega wearing that crown is not going to make any difference. It's not going to make any difference. Fans aren't into her. it's not going to work. At least with Doudrop, you could have shook off the image that she had and went with something different. I just don't get it. I think this is a big mistake, Mike, and I was very disappointed at how they booked it.
You know, and not only would it have made sense to give her the championship, the crown, I mean, look, she's from Britain. You know, she's from England. They have a history of having queens there, you know, and royalty and stuff like that. You could have played up Doudrop as queens, as a queen, and then at some point, you knew what was going to happen at some point, that eventually Doudrop, the queen of the queens, the queen of the ring, or whatever you want to call it, would eventually at some point fight Charlotte Flair, the queen. You know, that would have been a money match somewhat, you know?
Yeah, it's sure not going to be a money match with Zelina Vega. I mean, I get that you're trying to promote Zelina Vega. I get it. I understand that we're trying to come up with something for her to do. This ain't it. Todd, I think they made a mistake here. I think the wrong person won.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they should have Piper Niven's or Doudrop to win this Queen's Crown tournament thing, become Queen of the Ring. But they have, we can't change that because
I don't know where Doudrop goes from here. I really don't. Anyway. Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Well, I'll say this. You knew going in what you're going to get somewhat from Bill Goldberg. Quite honestly, I think he gave you more than I expected. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you this is a 5-star match or a 4-star match or even a 3-star match. What I am going to tell you is that based upon Bill Goldberg's past performances, this is probably the best he's done. It's certainly one of the longest matches he's had, which I predicted, and it's certainly one of the better ones. Now, did it get a little bit hokey? Yeah, it got a little bit hokey when the rest of the Hurt Business came out with kendo sticks and got tossed around like they were in an action movie with Steven Seagal. Boy, if they're that bad. If two guys can't take out Goldberg, they got kendo sticks and he's got none. Ay, 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 ay. But I thought even the ending was good, you know, spearing him off the rampway. I thought, listen, they did, competitors that were in there, you had to understand that Lashley's backed into a corner too. He can only do what Goldberg can do. I thought it was okay. I really didn't have a problem with it. My expectations weren't too high. And for what my expectations were, Mike, I would say this met them or exceeded them, really.
Right. And you're telling me Goldberg couldn't have taken a couple of kendo sticks, you know, because we know what those kendo sticks are made of. We know how flimsy they are. You know, they're not going to hurt Goldberg too much. He could have at least taken a couple of shots from the kendo sticks. You know, made the rest of the Hurt Business. It would have made it look a little bit less hokey, and it would have made the rest of the Hurt Business look a little bit tough. Because you know, you get a guy that's taking those kendo sticks. Yeah, they're flimsy, but they're not played off as being flimsy. You know.
Yeah, they ended up looking like jabrones. There's no question about it. But, Todd, considering it's Bill Goldberg, considering his past performance, this was okay. This was fine.
I think you're absolutely right there, like you said about Goldberg and everything. When he came out yesterday, he don't look that winded. He wasn't that sweating. At least he was in shape to come down to the ring. Technically.
You know, that's a really good point, because what with the jet lag, and I know they had a day, but still, that's a 20-hour flight. You have one day to recover. Your body's not even used to the cycle of changing from day to night and everything. I expected Goldberg to be a just a carcass. And he did actually look like he had a little more cardio than he did. So he maybe took it more seriously, and good for him. Good for him. I mean, at his age, at the level that he's at, remember, he was never a great, great wrestler to begin with. I think he did okay. I really don't have a problem with it. I really don't. We then get to the King of the Ring finals, Xavier Woods versus Finn Balor. And once again, we were wrong. Once again, Finn Balor loses to Xavier Woods. This is frustrating for a couple of reasons. One is, did Finn Balor just not take Roman Reigns, the champion, to the limit, even though Roman Reigns involved both Usos in the match? He still beat them up, still almost beat Roman Reigns, and would have if the rope didn't collapse. That's a guy twice his size, twice as powerful, booked twice as strong, three times as strong as Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods won this thing. Xavier Woods said from the day he got in the WWE, he always said the King of the Ring was his favorite thing. He wanted to be the King of the Ring. He didn't care if he was a champion. He didn't care if he was a tag team champion. He didn't care Intercontinental, a U.S. champion. He wanted to be the King of the Ring. He loved it. And I guess this is their gift to him. That's fine. Then don't let Balor get into the finals, because that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense that Xavier Woods can fairly, I don't say easily, but handily defeat Finn Balor clean, and Roman Reigns couldn't do it at all. Had to have the Usos come down and had to have a rope break, or he wouldn't be champion. That does not make sense. I know it was the demon, big deal. That makes no difference. The difference is face paint. It makes no difference. I think Finn Balor would have been better. What I thought was going to happen, I really did, is that during this match, Finn Balor was going to grow extremely frustrated with the fact that he was having a really hard time with Xavier Woods, and I thought Balor was going to flip. I thought Balor was going to turn heel, and his new gimmick was going to be a heel king gimmick. I really did. I just had that feeling to that whole match that, Balor's getting frustrated. Something's going to happen, and he's going to take the low road here. And Xavier Woods is going to say, you know what, the actual F. I thought we had some respect for each other. He went low. He did it on purpose. He's a creep. And Balor just, you know, basking in it, saying, too bad for you. Didn't happen at all. Xavier Woods is the king. I don't know what good he's going to do. I mean, he's a tag team guy. So, I don't know. I don't know, Mike. Maybe they just don't want to put as much weight on who the king is as they did in the past.
Right. I mean, it was a big deal when Morocco won it the first time. I mean, he was a mid-card guy, and then he wins the King of the Ring, and it just rocketed him up into lower main event status, you know? So it helped. And look, you're right. I would have loved to see a heel King of the Ring, and then as far as his King's Court would go, think about this. They could actually, the whole Balor Club thing, the whole club thing, the King's Club, you know?
Right. Yeah, the King's Court even, you know. Exactly. There's a lot you could have done with that. I'm a little disappointed. It was a good match, though, Todd. It's weird they let Xavier win it.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said about this match with Woods and Balor there. Like you said, I would have gone with Balor to win this thing and be like a heel-type king, but I guess we're wrong on that. Maybe
I guess
so.
I guess the WWE is going in a different direction with this. I don't know how much good. I guess they figure he's going to be funny and he's going to be able to do a lot of things as the king that's going to be amusing. I don't know. A little weird. Big E versus Drew McIntyre. This was a very, very, very strong match. I enjoyed every moment of this match, save for one moment. And that is that they have kept the Claymore kick so strong that they wouldn't even let Brock Lesnar kick out of it. Now, they said you got to give him more than one before you pin him. but he's not kicking out of it. He's not kicking out of one, so you give him 2 and 3 and 4. You just give him 2 and 3 and 4. Big E kicked out of the Claymore kick. First time that I remember that the Claymore kick has shown that it did not finish off an opponent. And yet, Big E's finisher finishes off Drew McIntyre one shot. That's the only thing I didn't like. Aside from that, this was a great match. Big E is showing some charisma and some energy as a champion. Drew McIntyre was on the top of his game, I thought, and did a very, very strong job helping to put over Big E, and at the same time looking like there were times when he certainly could have finished him off. Aside from that, Mike, I have no problem with this match. I thought it was very good, very entertaining.
The two spots of the match for me was Big E ducking the Claymore the first time, you know, and I actually thought they were going to let that match in when Big E was going to try the big ending from basically the top rope. That's something you've never seen before.
Right.
You know?
Yet I wish they had done something where Big E had to go there to finish off McIntyre, because it would have kept McIntyre looking stronger. Overall, though, Todd, very strong title match, I thought.
Oh, well, like you said about the match with Big E and Drew McIntyre, it was was a pretty good match. It didn't go like 2 or 3 minutes like we normally see on a normal Raw or SmackDown show, and you know they took their time. They gave it like 20 minutes, 30 minutes tops.
And on top of giving it some time, it was well thought out. And that the only problem I had was that they, for the first time, they showed weakness in the Claymore kick. I wish they had done something while Drew McIntyre's leg was worked on to the point where it was hurt, and they said he had to deliver it with the other leg. And it's not enough power in the other leg, or, you know, he couldn't catch him right with the other leg. That would have helped. Doing it this way, that hurt Drew McIntyre a little bit, I think, which I'm not a big fan of, but I still think the match was great. Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair. Now, yes, I'm very happy that the women can wrestle in Saudi Arabia. I know, that's a big step forward. I get it. Huge, monumentous, I get it. But I swear to God, these girls come down to the ring, women. I get in trouble if I say girls. Why should I get in trouble if I say girls? They're very, very young, most of them. These women come down to the ring dressed in more clothing than the girls I used to play strip poker with. Okay? I'm like, my God, do they have to wear a suit of armor? I'm surprised they didn't have to wear a head wrap. That's got to be frustrating. Still was a good match. They gave it plenty of time. Plenty of time. And there were some good moments in the match, no question about it. Bianca Belair is a legitimate superstar. She has all the athletic tools needed. She has that air of charisma, whether it's negative charisma where you want to boo her or positive charisma where you want to cheer her. She has it. Becky Lynch won, not a surprise. We picked her to win. We figured it was going to happen. You know what's going to happen? They're going to switch belts. They're not going to have no women's champion on one brand. So obviously they're going to switch belts. But it leaves a little bit up in the air where you say, "Gee, I wonder what they're going to do." So that's actually a good move. Again, no real trouble with this match. I didn't think it was a great, great match, Mike, but it was certainly a good match, and, you know, that's good enough.
Yeah, it was good enough, and look, I mean, it was an excellent match, but think about this. With all those clothes on, they still were able to do some pretty amazing athletic things. And the one thing that I'm surprised that didn't happen because both of the other two women used that long ponytail. And we've seen it before that when somebody tries to use that long ponytail against her, well, she gets fed up with it, there's Bianca, and she'll whip it like, you know, she'll use it as a bullwhip on them. I'm surprised they didn't let her do that, you know, allow her to do that at least to one of the women, you know. And as far as just go back on Big E match, remember Big E had him in that stretch muffler. And
yep.
That's where I thought that was going to go when he had him in that stretch muffler for, what, 3 to 5 minutes, and he had that leg over his neck and he was doing that. I thought that's where that was going to go. That leg wouldn't have been able to hit that that Claymore kick, and there you go.
Yeah, I was hoping they were going to play that up more. I was hoping the announcers were going to say McIntyre's leg is hurt, and I don't know if he's going to be able to deliver the Claymore. And then maybe when McIntyre delivered it, he should have been like in agony over it, and you would have said, okay, well, that's understandable. Anyway, Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. And I'm going to tell you this, and this is probably going to rile some people. Brock Lesnar wants to be. When Brock Lesnar wants to be, Brock Lesnar's a very good professional wrestler. He is better than you think he is. You know, you got to remember, when Brock Lesnar first came in, he did long matches. He did all that stuff. He did all the things that were expected of any professional wrestler. He didn't have it easy every moment of his career. He didn't have these 3-minute matches and disappear for 6 months. That wasn't what Brock Lesnar did at all. And when Brock Lesnar really wants to do it, Brock Lesnar can do it. Brock Lesnar, I'll tell you this. I don't know if Brock Lesnar's body can do it, or he just doesn't want to do it because he's so filthy rich and he doesn't care. But if they could convince Brock Lesnar to do a reasonably full-time schedule, if they said, this character you've got right now, we need, you know, at least twice a month to show up on television and at least 2 out of 3 pay-per-views. You got your big star. You got your Stone Cold Steve Austin. You got your Rock. You got your whatever. People like Brock Lesnar. He's legit. He looks legit. He feels legit. He sounds legit. He's just legit. It's as simple as that. And that's why he's getting the big money. He's not going to do it, but it's a shame he's not. Brock Lesnar made Roman Reigns look really good. Roman Reigns did him some favors too and made Brock Lesnar look good. Now, what they did was they had Paul Heyman slide that belt directly in the middle of both men. So you had no idea who he was really trying to help by sliding that belt in when the referee went down. Then the Usos hit the ring. And then Roman Reigns uses the belt. And Brock Lesnar loses, Roman Reigns retains, as we figured he might. But now here's the beauty of this. And this is why I say you can use Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar is ratings. I guarantee you the ratings tonight are going to be huge because Brock Lesnar released a statement saying, I'm coming to SmackDown, and the minute I see Roman Reigns, I'm beating his ass. The moment I see him. Doesn't matter where it is. The moment I see Roman Reigns, I'm beating his ass. Well, that's good enough to catch me. I want to see it. I'm going to be watching. Was it a great match? Uh-uh. It wasn't. But it was a decent match, and because of the way you built this match up, it was an interesting match, which is sometimes better than a good match. It was interesting. We needed to know where the next chapter of this story is going. And they stalled it, which the WWE doesn't do too much. Usually they rush it. I thought, well, we're going to know where Paul's loyalty lies, aren't we? No, we don't. We still don't. Pretty smart move. And once again, let me reiterate, when Brock Lesnar wants to turn it on, and he looks better than he's ever looked, by the way. He looks like he dropped some weight. He looks a little quicker, a little more stamina. When Brock Lesnar wants to turn it on, Brock Lesnar is a very good professional wrestler. Mike, I thought this was fine.
I thought it was fine, too. And frankly, think about this. Brock Lesnar is still a free agent. All right? So this could be the last match. This might not be the last match. But he's still a free agent. He could eventually show up on Raw and show up. And if they at some point happen to flip Roman Reigns and the Usos and Heyman with him. Heyman could still see that storyline where Heyman eventually becomes the most powerful man in the WWE.
Could happen, although I think the reaction, and granted it is a Saudi crowd reaction, I think the reaction Brock Lesnar's getting, I think the WWE might be better off not having him go against Big E where he'd be booed, and just having Lesnar be that guy that you say exactly what he said. The minute I see Roman Reigns, his ass is getting kicked. This could be good. The WWE may have found the problem is he don't want to do any full-time stuff. If he was the type of guy to say, I'll give you a year of doing at least semi-full-time stuff, you could run big with Brock Lesnar right now. Fans buy into him. He's one of those rare guys. You know, there's not that many of them. Is he going to give you a five-star match ever? No. But he's legit, and people know he's legit. And it makes him interesting. And when he wants to, I'm telling you, I know a lot of fans are going to say, what are you talking about? He sucks. He doesn't suck. When Brock Lesnar wants to, Brock Lesnar's a very good professional wrestler. There were times during that Roman Reigns match that I said, that was great the way he took that move, or that was great the way he sold this. Or there were certain things yesterday that really impressed me with Brock Lesnar's game. When he wants to do, he's like a Randy Orton to an extent. When he wants to, he can do it. And I'm sure the Usos are going to take a wicked-ass beat. Now, I don't know if Roman Reigns is tonight, but I bet you the Usos do. And this is going to lead to something else. So they've got a good plot line going here, and it's going to continue. Now, this was the best show they've ever done in Saudi Arabia by far. As a matter of fact, this was one of the strongest pay-per-views they've done this whole year. This was a four-hour pay-per-view, a little bit more if you want to count the pre-show match, and it went by like that. When they got to Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, I said, this is it? This is it? Amazing. Really, really strong pay-per-view. And one that had ramifications for what's happening in the United States. It wasn't just one of those, well, it's a one-off. None of this stuff, forget it. It's an alternate timeline. No, they didn't do that for a change. Everything tied into what was happening. And again, I loved the crowd. The crowd was, that was my kind of crowd, man. That's the kind of crowd that when I go to a wrestling match, I want to sit with. People's not afraid to jump out of their seat and yell and scream, not afraid to show emotion, not afraid to get into those matches. They were into it. I was really happy to see that. Now, again, the Saudi Arabian government sucks. That's not the people's fault. And that leads me to my last point, and that is that Dr. Britt Baker apparently made some snide comments about the WWE taking blood money from going to Saudi Arabia. And I want to remind you that you guys, you know, are you protesting the NBA? Taking blood money from China when they got Uyghurs in death camps? No, you're not. You're all sitting around wearing Nike sneakers. Where they come from? Why don't you take a little bit of time to think before you say something stupid and make yourself look dumb? I don't agree with the WWE going to Saudi Arabia either, but you can't talk out of both sides of your face. And if you're going to sit there wearing your Nike sneakers and cheering your NBA teams on and then saying WWE can go to Saudi Arabia, then you're a hypocrite, and you're a big hypocrite. And what's worse, you're an ignorant hypocrite because you're too dumb to know you're a hypocrite. And by the way, what I want you to do, take a look at some of them fans, especially the young kids, who don't probably get a lot of super fun stuff that the West has to offer in their backyard every day, and see the excitement on their faces and the happiness. And you tell me that's bad. It's not bad. You can say that's blood money coming from Saudi Arabia, but I'm going to tell you one thing. If you ever do want to reach across the aisle and show people we're all human, we're all in this together, we're all on this planet floating together, we're not so, we have differences, but we have more in common than we have different. You saw it yesterday. You saw it in the eyes of children. You saw it in the eyes of the teenagers. You even saw it in the eyes of the adults. Came here. They entertained us. We like them. They like us. Maybe the people are. Maybe we're not so different. If you think that's really bad, I think you better reconsider. What's your overall thoughts on this pay-per-view, Mike?
I enjoyed it. And look, if you could get him, if you could get Lesnar to give you a year, he could be that guy that we've said that they haven't had in a while. That guy that when his music hits, no matter if he's winning or losing, you're going to get your ass whooped. You know,
he could be that guy. He's that guy right now, Mike. He just don't show up enough.
Yeah, he needs to. They need to try their best to talk him into showing up. And look, I also enjoyed the fact that well, what do you know? Titus O'Neil shows up.
Yeah,
you know,
Titus managed to get to Saudi Arabia, and he managed to get in the ring without falling underneath it. Yeah, that was pretty funny. And then, by the way, they showed that the WWE had went around to some schools, I guess, and they did a bullying thing, which was good, I guess. You know, listen, again, you don't take it out on the people if the government sucks. The Saudi Arabian government is oppressive and a little bit psychopathic. And, yeah, you can say it's blood money all you want, but those people sitting in the audience, you know, they're just people. They're just people like you and I. And they had fun. And they're wrestling fans. And I don't think that's bad. So I've somewhat changed my opinion on Saudi Arabia in the sense that I do think that Vince McMahon is doing it for profit, obviously. He's doing it for the big money. I do think the Saudi government is snakes in the grass and killers. And my original thought was you don't take money from snakes in the grass and killers. You don't honor their barbaric ways by bringing your product here, and you certainly don't bow down to them. But in all reality, Saudi Arabia kind of bowed down to the WWE. I mean, the first show, they fined them and threatened to break the contract and everything over the fact they showed a commercial with Carmella dancing. Now they got women in the ring wrestling. Albeit in, you know, a suit of armor, but they still got women wrestling. It's a step. Faces of the people in that crowd and say to myself, Jesus, I'd rather be sitting in this crowd with these fans than sitting there in San Diego where everybody's like, I want to see this. I'm leaving early. Because that's not really wrestling fans. These guys were really wrestling fans, and they were screaming, yelling. They were the look of shock on their faces, the look of excitement on their faces, the chanting. Everything was great. Their audience was great. So don't blame the audience for the government. Don't do that. Don't do that at all. I enjoyed the hell out of this pay-per-view, and it was a pay-per-view that went by, in my opinion, like lightning. I couldn't believe it when I said, well, wait a minute, this thing started at 11, technically with the pre-show. It really flew by because all the matches were entertaining. Yeah, there were matches I disagreed with the outcome of. That's okay. See, that's what I'm trying to say. When I'm critical with the WWE, I'll give you my opinion on if I think they booked the wrong person to win, but that's irrelevant. We can talk about it and discuss it, and perhaps you agree, perhaps you disagree. But the bottom line is I want them to give me a strong product. And if we disagree with who wins certain matches, well, that's whatever. I disagreed with who won two of these matches. But it was still a strong card. It was still a really good day of wrestling. And it still made me think to myself, this is why I'm a wrestling fan. Kind of excitement, this kind of crowd furor, this kind of storytelling, this kind of laying it on the line and saying, Jesus, I don't know if my body could do that. And whether it was Edge at 47 putting his body on the line, Seth Rollins going the extra 9 miles, Drew McIntyre and Big E really pulling it out, the Usos and the Hurt Business really doing their job, or whether it was just Brock Lesnar storming to the ring and really having people say, yeah, that's somebody I would not get in the way of. And that's what makes wrestling great. So I'm giving this an A-minus. I think this was as close to a perfect pay-per-view as could possibly be. And the only reason it's not an A-plus is I disagree with a couple of the booking decisions, and I think it's going to play out lousy in the stories on Raw and SmackDown. Other than that, I enjoyed the hell out of this pay-per-view, Mike.
I got to give it an A-minus as well. And think about this. Everybody does that suicide dive through the second rope or whatever, and that was one of the better spots in the match because, you know, usually when they do it, they hit it. Well, what's his name? Edge sidesteps it, and he goes head first into the cage.
Yeah, listen, Edge and Seth Rollins, you say what you want. Again, I'm very fair here. I'm not a Finn Balor fan. Finn Balor should have won. I have some personal differences with Seth Rollins outside the ring. I've heard Seth Rollins stories I don't like. But he's a great professional wrestler. A great professional wrestler. And he showed it yesterday again. There's a guy who carried the company on his back. I don't care what anybody says. He carried the company on his back for several years, several years back. And he's capable of doing it again. That's how good he is. So I'm fair about that. Edge and Seth Rollins lit to the point where Edge was showing real emotion at the end. That wasn't fake. When Edge looked like he was going to cry, that wasn't fake. That was Edge saying, I did it. At my age, at my health level, with my injuries, we stole the show. And this crowd appreciated it. And they're roaring their approval. I got through it. I did it. That wasn't fake. Todd, what's your rating on this pay-per-view?
I got to give it an A-minus, too. And like you said, with the Edge and Seth Rollins match yesterday, when that match stole the show, that reminds me back going a real good show stealer was back at WrestleMania 3 with Savage and Steamboat.
Savage and Steamboat, yeah. Yep, absolutely. Listen, if Brock Lesnar shows up tonight, whether it's in the parking lot, backstage, in the ring, whatever, if Brock Lesnar shows up tonight and really does clean house, you got something good going. I'm sorry. I'm telling you, this is fans are going to believe that. Remember when Brock Lesnar went berserk as a heel and he slammed a cameraman and he threatened to beat up Stephanie McMahon and fans were roaring. Fans were just like, holy crap, the man's went nuts. And that's not a guy, when that guy's in a good mood, he's dangerous. So when he's in a bad mood, that's really, really not good. And he's got that reputation, Mike. So if they play that up and he really does go in there and cause absolute chaos tonight, I think they've got their top star.
And frankly, think about this. If he causes chaos and that chaos is against, let's say, the Hurt Business, you know, where, okay, we would know what that would be setting up. That would be setting up Lesnar versus Lashley. All the better.
I think it's going to be the Usos. I think the Usos are getting their ass kicked tonight. And all for Roman is, I think Roman's going to avoid it somehow or something's going to happen. But you know what? It's making me want to watch it. And just a simple tweet of the moment I see Roman Reigns tonight, I'm kicking his ass, is enough to draw ratings. I'll bet you, coming off this good pay-per-view and that tweet, Fox sees very good ratings. WWE's on the right track here. This was a really, really good pay-per-view. They deserve a lot of credit for it. A lot of credit for it. We'll talk to you Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.